It's April 15th, 2021. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program you have come to trust since October 2003. You can hear this program at WWCR.com Thursdays evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, on the shortwave frequency, 4.840 megahertz, and it repeats on WWCR Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. Also, hear us on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Visit their website at lwrn.net. We can also be heard on Global Star Communication and at kstartalkradio.com. The latter on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and it repeats on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. My colleague, Elizabeth Cuppert Cavalli, and I, Lou Cavalli, had decided not to bring back our satirical world of Pastor Pat and Sally Lou Pockets, their son Caligula, and Fatherland Security. No, we were temporarily too shattered to even think of using humor to portray truth when we heard nary a mention of 2020 election fraud in Trump's farewell speech. The thought of our constitutional republic gone was too somber. But now, time has passed, and we see this satanic culture of death and destruction moving in ways that we never dreamed of. The threats to our very lives far eclipse the coup against our republic. We call the program tonight The War on Us, that is, mankind. Elizabeth.
Yes, Lou. You had some striking things that I was actually thinking about again. And we are in a time when top Roman Catholic and Protestant church leaders like Pope Francis and Southern Baptist Seminary head Albert Mohler, together with some others, are urging their parishioners to get COVID vaccines that are derived from aborted fetal cell lines. Reports of COVID-19 vaccine injuries and deaths abound worldwide. Some blood clots, some Guillain-Barré syndrome effects on people. Just two of these examples of some of the damage. And you'll hear tonight, listeners, world authorities are even beginning to have to take action. The FDA, the CDC, things are changing a little bit. But you see, I turned on a radio pastor, and I heard him nonchalantly but vehemently say, "Get away from the news! Get away from the news! Turn off the news!" Better, I guess, to just read scripture piously, shut up in one's closet.
No, the Bible says the truth will set you free, not being a sitting duck, ostrich, with your head stuck in the sand. So when we saw some very shocking developments coming almost to our doors, I told Elizabeth, we again need satire to wake up more people.
Yes, Lou, you had me call up the fictitious clerical couple, Pastor Pat and Sally Lou Pockets, and their son, Calig, and the aging tyrant, Fatherland Security. You hired them tonight to be investigative reporters to come to the very Maryland county we live in to report on the FEMA mobile COVID vax vans.
This is Calig Pockets, short for Caligula. Ma and Dad got their first idea to make me in Rome. That's why I got this goofball name, and why my high school buddies laugh and say, "Hey, man, is that for real?" Anyway, Dad got the call from Fatherland Security and the Bureau for him and Ma. And guess what? They think I'm now old enough to help report on some kind of mystery van's coming. Coming right to the county where Lou and Elizabeth Cavalli live. After all, I just proudly graduated from high school at age 20. Man, 3 seconds till airtime. Let me get my thing here. Whoa, let me see now.
3, 2, 1. Son, are you ready?
I'm ready
for your big debut.
Here I go. Eastern Maryland, Star Democrat, April 7th, 2021. FEMA van arrives to help vaccinate local residents. COVID-19 positivity rate up to 7.25%. Caroline County's COVID-19 response team worked through the weekend. 25.7% of county residents have been fully vaccinated. The FEMA mobile van make that vaccine unit rolled into Caroline County last week and was up and running by Saturday. Caroline and Harford counties are the first locations in the nation to get the FEMA vans, said Emergency Services Director Miss Sierra. What was her name now? Miss Anna Sierra, that's her name. Son, you've done a good job. In a year or two, the Bureau may hire you full-time. Now, I'm going to continue that article that Kalig had begun. Let me see now.
And, of course, this is Pastor Pat Pocket.
That's right.
My ever-loving husband.
That's
and
me.
I'm Sally Lou Pockets. You'll hear from me soon. So, with bated breath, you can wait while my husband, my aging, balding husband, but he's still a good guy, while he continues.
Thank you, Sally Lou. That was most appreciated. U.S. Department of Agriculture and Forestry personnel are mostly staffing the unit. They arrived Thursday to train and had a soft opening Saturday, administering 100 doses of vaccine, and Sunday, 50 doses. Sierra, that's Miss Sierra, said the FEMA team has been absolutely great to work with. In the case of Caroline, the MVU, make that the MVU, and that's the mobile van unit, is not so mobile, she added. Technically it is, this is her quote, but it's a large operation. And so we thought it best to find a space that met its needs and pretty much plop it for the week, Miss Sierra said. The FEMA van has allocated 250 doses of Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine a day. This marks the first week the health department is receiving Johnson & Johnson vaccine after the initial 100 doses, which doesn't require a second dose. And they got a large clinic planned at the 4-H Park on Thursday to administer that. And then Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., the health department team will be administering Moderna vaccine at that location. Now, let me see now. And this is Pastor Pat Pockets, once again, doing a little reflecting, a little analyzing. Just wonder why the big boys picked these two counties to be the very first two counties in the nation to get them mobile vans, Harford County and Caroline County, Maryland. Ain't it a big coincidence that that's where Lou and Elizabeth broadcast the divided kingdom? Yeah, probably no rhyme or reason to it.
A coincidence? This is Fatherland Security, and I'm here with Mrs. Pockets. Oh, hi, everybody. And we're going to take over from the aging minister. About as much coincidence as the latest incident at the Suez Canal, Sally Lou. It seems to be the case that another ship, an evergreen ship, tried to go into the canal and ram against the banks. Oh, why, Fatherland, as sure as I'm Sally Lou Pockets, I have to tell you that I remember the late Dr. Carl Sanders. You know, he was that pastor that would come on with Lou and Elizabeth on the Divided Kingdom program, and he used to work for what he called the Bureau. And, of course, he helped pioneer the beginnings of the microchip. And then later he repented, and he and his wife Ruby went all over the USA talking against abortion. And Ruby helped save a little child's life because the pianist was going to commit the abortion the next day. 3 years later, when they came back to that church, she brought this darling little child over to Ruby and had her meet the child. Well, anyway, Pastor Carl Sanders was in the know, and he said, he alleged that the CIA was running its drugs through America through evergreen trucks. And that was an evergreen ship? Guess it's just a coincidence. Oh, inquiring minds might think otherwise. But you know, you could ask, is a certain little three-letter agency trying to cause new trouble in the shipping route delays? But I'm here with the team tonight to tell more about them FEMA vans. First of all, it's lies, utter lies, to suggest these vans could end up metamorphosizing. I have a little trouble with big words. Metamorphin, maybe I want to say, into the China organ kill vans. Or longer back in history, them Nazi Einsatzgruppen assassination vans. But anyway, here was the story in the local newspaper, Eastern Maryland, the Star Democrat, and I think this was a couple days ago. Oh, I think this was Sunday, April 11th. You know, Elizabeth Caverly's always harping on the number from numerology 11, that it's judgment, judgment, judgment. And a listener wrote to set her straight. He said that in biblical numerology, it was chaos. Well, I think that both things can be part of that number. But at any rate, we were getting this news on a judgment day, Sunday, April 11th. Vaccines on wheels. That's COVID vaccines on wheels. FEMA brings mass vaccinations to Caroline County. Ridgely. Volunteers from all over the country have deployed to Caroline. What? Volunteers from all over the country. You know, we used to hear back in the earlier Patriot days, FEMA was prepared. Al Cuppet told us that. Former action officer on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Al Cuppet, told us FEMA was a sinister group and that someday we would be in the camps. Christians, that is. So volunteers from all over the country have deployed to Caroline County as part of the county's effort to curb the COVID-19 pandemic by getting people vaccinated. The Federal Emergency Management Agency's mobile vaccination unit is staged in an empty parking lot at the Ridgely Tech Park on Racetrack Road. Well, thank you, Mrs. Pockets, and I have to add here, with this collaborative effort, Zane Hadzik with FEMA Region 3 out of Philadelphia said the collaboration effort is what makes it work. We know that one world is coming, boys and girls. The unit is one of the first in the U.S. to be used in a local, state, and federal partnership intended to, quote, get shots in the arm. The unit comes with 250 vaccine doses a day, plus another 100 doses for outreach teams. Quote, getting access to those doses is really why we decided to invite the team down in the first place, said Caroline Department of Emergency Services Anna Sierra. Volunteering to be first at something is always a bit of a challenge, and they've had to work through a few things, she added. Quote, but it's been absolutely worth having those doses in the county. And I might add, too, when we're looking at this setup, the paper says the large trailer with pop-out tents on either side and a long trailer hauling a generator to power everything doesn't look like what one might imagine when they hear mobile unit. But they're designed so they can be picked up and moved to the underserved populations, Hadzik said. And I have to offer a little note here to some of you who've been big contributors. We've heard a little bit of gossip from Mike Adams on Natural News. We don't know whether this is proven to be true yet, but again, in looking to help the underserved populations of the world, we have heard that President Biden allocated 15 million doses of vaccine to go down to South and Central America, from whence are coming all of those immigrants. And there's just a coincidence again, Mrs. Pockets, I think. Oh, so many things are coincidence, Fatherland. Well, this coincidence is that there were 15 million vaccine doses that were messed up in Baltimore. Somebody in those poor neighborhoods messed it up. Maybe they're going to be used to help the underserved populations down there in Central and South America. But back to the article. I've been digressing too much. The FEMA outreach teams accompanying the unit are more of what is usually envisioned as mobile. Those teams target specific sites, with large numbers of people needing vaccination, which have been identified by the county's team and economic development. And now, for instance, they talk in the article that they went out to different places. They went to Hanover Foods. They went to Chop Tank Electric. Then they went to their detention center. Can you see the scope of this? Every kind of a corporation or business. Oh, there's such a wonderful public-private partnership going on here. And now, Sally Lou, I think you're going to tell exactly what happens when one of these persons comes up for a vaccine. Thank you, Fatherland. When someone coming for a vaccine drives up to the first checkpoint, and I'm quoting again from the Eastern Star Democrat, Eastern Maryland, and note the word checkpoint, we're becoming familiar with this word. So this person drives up to the first checkpoint. Yes, let me see your papers, citizen, will be soon enforced, or the vaccine passport. They are reminded to wear a mask and directed to a designated parking area. Once they park and get out of their car, a greeter directs them to the check-in table, where volunteers verify their identity and complete any needed paperwork, or in this case, iPad work. Everything is electronic. On Thursday, check-in volunteers were from Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Puerto Rico. Wow, this thing is global. Fatherland, you are so smart.
Thank you.
After the person is checked in, they are directed to a pathway of cones leading to the vaccination tent, which is attached to the, quote, pharmacy trailer. At the tent, a volunteer counts the number of people approaching and alerts the pharmacy team as to how many shots are needed. The person is greeted at the entrance and directed to a station where the loaded syringe is waiting. After the person receives their shot, they leave the tent on the other side, stopping at the exit table where a volunteer provides aftercare advice. And they said that one of the volunteers said this, that people have to make sure to move the arm they got the vaccine in to help keep it from getting sore, not to sleep on it, to stay hydrated, and after an hour or so, take a pain reliever if they have any discomfort.
That is, if they're still here.
After receiving aftercare advice, the vaccinated person is directed to restart their car after they've waited about 15 minutes to make sure they don't have a severe reaction. And the volunteers in the parking lot recognize and they kind of monitor those vaccinated, ready to call for help if needed, an ambulance. Oh, here in the South, here in Maryland, we say an ambulance, an emergency medical team is on site. So far, no one has experienced a serious adverse reaction, they said. Inside the trailer, they have a group of people. Again, there's someone there from Gilbert, Iowa, someone from Auburn, Alabama, and a doctor, a pharmacist from Pocomoke. And they're taking care to draw up the vaccines as needed. And this doctor from Pocomoke said, I can tell you it has been so refreshing to see such a great group of people from all over the country, from different agencies, come together and serve our community. They're all really dedicated and compassionate. I love these ladies, said one of the women. They were the guinea pigs. They are the reason that we have been as successful as we have. A good team effort, one of them said. But, Pat, if you're still there at the mic, maybe someone else was the guinea pigs, them that's got the jabs.
Yeah, it's them, all right. So, Lou, 'cause now I have to report to you. The FEMA vax vans hit a road bump and stopped rolling down the road. The big plan has changed. Johnson & Johnson ain't no more in the U.S. of A. for now. Biden paused it because of blood clots and possible brain tumors. They were showing up in a lot of folks. And now I got to tell you something here. This here little reading came from the Eastern Star Democrat, April the 14th. Here's the latest. Maryland health officials on Tuesday told vaccinators to stop use of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine amid concerns about adverse side effects, in particular, dangerous blood clots among women. The announcement prompted a cancellation of at least 2 days of a planned multi-day COVID-19 vaccination clinic in the city of Easton. An official said, "We haven't given up hope on our FEMA visitors." He said FEMA is working to get its hands on an allocation of Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. Whoa. Now, this is Pastor Pat again talking. Whoa. Now, them local geniuses in emergency management and FEMA are going to mix pigs and goats. You got a Johnson & Johnson jab last week? Now, maybe you'll get a new shot of Moderna or Pfizer. This is kind of strange to my mind, kind of mysterious to me. But as I sign off and Lou Caverly takes over, I just hope you folks out there in Radioland listen up to new info on Moderna, Pfizer, and lots of whistleblowing and some new sad death. Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Pat. And now we move on to some articles we have here that I think we all have a great deal of need to know. So we'll begin with something that came from the Simon Wiesenthal Center, an article that originally came from the summer and fall of 1999 in their issue of Response magazine. And the title was SWC, Simon Wiesenthal Center, uncovers State Department suppressed evidence of Nazi euthanasia program in 1940. The Simon Wiesenthal Center has uncovered previously classified documents in the National Archives and State Department files that reveal the U.S. knew about the euthanasia killings being conducted by the Third Reich no later than 1940. The new documentation also verifies that the head of the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, received similar information, but apparently chose not to go public. At the beginning of World War II, Adolf Hitler authorized the killing of mentally ill and physically disabled Germans under the German euthanasia program known as Operation T4. Approximately 70,000 Germans were murdered under the program, until church and public protests finally brought it to a halt in 1941. The program of systematic extermination, which served as a precursor to the Nazi Holocaust, continued on a covert basis, however, taking as many as 200,000 lives before it ended. On October 16, 1940, according to the newly revealed documents, Vice Consul Paul H. Dutko cabled to the American Embassy in Berlin and State Department in Washington that the Third Reich was killing people it deemed useless. He cited, quote, fantastic and gruesome, unquote, stories from German civilians, stories of army trucks entering and leaving the Grafeneck Asylum in Württemberg, southwest Germany, in the dead of night, of soldiers shooing away the curious. The local residents believed that some patients were being used as guinea pigs for medical experiments and then killed. Other patients were regarded as useless, even for lab tests, and were being killed outright, according to residents. This evidence, dating to 1940, is contrary to the common belief that knowledge of Germany's euthanasia program did not surface in the West until mid-1941, when it was described in William Al Shirer's Berlin Diary. Another previously undisclosed document was a 10-page letter that the evangelical Bishop of Württemberg, Theophil Worm, wrote on July 10, 1940, to the Reich Interior Ministry. The bishop admonished, quote, "The decision as to the time when the life of a suffering human being should end rests with Almighty God." And he expressed dismay at the rumors he had heard. A copy of the letter was obtained by Vice Consul Duco as early as 1941 and forwarded to his superiors, who apparently shelved it. Another letter, found by the Wiesenthal Center researchers, was written in German and sent to NBC. The letter, which found its way to the War Department in 1940, stated that, quote, thousands of patients are secretly murdered monthly, not only those who are public wards, but also the paying inmates. With your expressions of horror, I guess this is like a command in a way, with your expressions of horror, prevent further murders, unquote. It was signed, "A Christian who cannot bear to witness this any longer," and said Rabbi Marvin Heyer, "International condemnation of the Third Reich's euthanasia program at this early stage would have saved lives. Perhaps public opinion might have turned against Hitler at home. Perhaps the full-scale Holocaust might have been delayed, and people everywhere might have recognized the reality of it earlier," he said.
Yes, Lou, such an important historical document there that you read. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, and we're in some early stages of things that could metamorphose into horrible things like the Nazi years. Did we recognize or understand fully the true children at the border situation? Here's what we knew in March. This was March 26th from Natural News, Arsenio Toledo. Border Patrol agent blows whistle on inhumane conditions in overcrowded migrant facility. A Border Patrol agent has opened up about the inhumane conditions inside an overcrowded migrant facility in South Texas. The agent, known by the pseudonym Carlos, made the revelations to the Epoch Times on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisal. According to Carlos, many of the family unit holding cells smell like vomit and urine. In the cells that hold unaccompanied minors, fights break out regularly. Sexual assault between the migrants also happens all the time, and Border Patrol agents are afraid of reporting it for fear of being blamed for, quote, letting it happen, end of quote. Many diseases have also spread around the facility, including the flu and the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19. Any diseases that are in there, it's being kept in there like a petri dish, said Carlos. The smell is overwhelming. At the facility Carlos works at, around 80 migrants are squeezed into cells only 24 feet by 30 feet in size. Many cells have rooms that are divided only using sheets of plastic. Only one or two officers per shift are assigned to control groups of between 300 to 500 migrants. Related article, as border crisis worsens, over 118,000 migrants, quote, got away from Border Patrol in less than 6 months. Our defenses are down, Carlos added. So if there's anybody that we should be worried about, they know that this is the time to come in. They know it. 10,000 illegal immigrants currently housed in migrant facilities. The situation at the border has gotten so overwhelming that even Democrats are speaking out against Biden's policies. Democratic Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas's 28th District shared a series of photos taken from a CBP temporary overflow facility in the small town of Donna in southern Texas. In the photos, migrant children are being kept in, quote, pods that have a 260-person occupancy. These pods are separated from each other with thick sheets of plastic, and one pod reportedly had more than 400 unaccompanied male minors when the picture was taken. Cuellar said the children staying in the facility were dealing with, quote, terrible conditions. And we have to just interject that this was in March. And then we're moving on just a little bit more to continue this picture. Biden regime refuses to tell America the truth about the children living in Biden's border cages. Up until now, the CBP facility in Donna has been under strict lock and key. Prior to Project Veritas receiving these exclusive photos, nobody knew what the prison-like tent compound was truly like inside, nor was it known how the children living in it were being treated. Quote, they won't even allow the nonprofit lawyers who conduct the actual oversight of these immigration detention centers to go inside, a Project Veritas reporter revealed. Nobody has seen photos inside of this place until now. Shocking images showing people wrapped up in what looks like metal foil, lying on the ground, their faces covered. Why won't the administration be honest about this? Why won't they show you these images? While reporting on the issue from right outside the facility, Project Veritas was ordered to leave by a security guard who stated that it was, quote, private property. Since airspace is not private, Project Veritas then took a small plane up in the air to check things out from the sky. To many, the place looks like a concentration camp. Had it been constructed during President Donald Trump's first term, the fake news media would have been all over it, condemning the president for, quote, separating children from their parents and keeping them in, quote, cages. Now that Biden is at the helm, there has hardly been so much as a peep from the media about the crisis. One reporter during a recent press conference did ask White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki about it, but she responded by dodging the question and talking about something else. Child sex slaves waiting to be purchased by Americans, wrote one populist press commenter, speculating as to the true nature of this strange and creepy facility.
Just as the cover-up that the U.S. knew about Hitler's euthanasia killings finally was exposed, a bombshell tonight covers the war on us. And it must be this, with all its heavy, horrible implications. Alex Jones reveals massive child trafficking scheme operating in plain sight at U.S. border while local police watch and do nothing. By Ethan Huff, Thursday, April 8th, 2021, from Natural News. InfoWars, Alex Jones has blown the lid on a massive human smuggling operation taking place right in plain sight at America's southern border. Local police, however, could not care less. Jones filmed buses taking children from a makeshift dirt floor cage camp under the Ansel Duis International Bridge in McAllen, Texas, to a processing facility in Donner, Texas. These children were then moved to a Wuhan coronavirus, that is COVID-19, processing camp in downtown McAllen before once again being transported, this time to a Catholic charity. At the Catholic charity, these children were observed being given bus or airplane tickets before being taken to either the airport or a bus station. While at the facility, Jones and his crew observed five children being taken and loaded by an adult into a hatchback car. Reports Populist Press, quote, three of these children were loaded into the luggage compartment with no seat belts present. And it says you can see a video. If you go to this website, it says watch the video below from Banned Video to see for yourself.
What is the website, Lou?
And the website is Natural News. And if you search this, you can find this under the date of April 8th, 2021. So go to naturalnews.com if you want to see that video. Police stopped but didn't cite child trafficker. Investigative reporter Drew Hernandez tweeted that upon arriving at the Catholic charity, which is run by Catholic Charities RGV, he discovered children being smuggled by staff into cramped vehicles, quote, without any seats, seat belts, or car seats. As you may recall from recent headlines, an SUV cram-packed with illegal aliens crashed at the border a few weeks ago, killing many of the passengers. Jones says he personally witnessed many carloads of children being taken away from the Catholic charity during the few hours he sat there observing what was taking place. When Jones attempted to call out the Catholic charity, which appears to have been set up as a faked Wuhan coronavirus testing site, police officers did intervene to try to stop one of the vehicles carrying the children from leaving. Law enforcement did not, however, cite the man who was driving. Reported InfoWars, quote, while the government endorses smuggling, Jones used the state law to point out the massive abuse to these undocumented children. And the subheadline, why is Catholic Charities handing out cash to illegals? Another thing Jones and the InfoWars crew noticed while in McAllen is that Catholic Charities seems to be actively facilitating human trafficking and child smuggling by supporting it financially. Catholic Charities was caught in the past handing out manila envelopes containing cash to illegal aliens. Vouchers were also included along with instructions for illegals about how to get to their destination of choice anywhere around the country. In the following video, you will learn more about the Biden regime's massive illegal alien pipeline, which funnels untold numbers of underage children into the United States. And again, you can see the video if you go to naturalnews.com on April 8th. As expected, the mainstream media has nothing to say about the border crisis now that President Biden is running things, purportedly. Under Donald Trump, we were constantly told about those scary border cages. But under Biden, none of it matters anymore. Wrote one InfoWars commenter, quote, kind of looks like Catholic Charities is really just a human trafficking front, unquote, as he perhaps stated the obvious. So, and this is another quote, so the cops let the kidnapped children go back to the Catholic Charities building? Asked another. Now they will just sneak them out the back door into a service van. Catholic Charity, Catholic Pope, Catholic President. Do we see a pattern here? Others pointed out that the London banks own America and the Vatican owns the banks. This is what pulls the levers of power in our country.
Yes, the late Dr. Stan Monteith, that wonderful radio commenter, carried a book, and this book was called The Transformation of America, and it was written by Kathy O'Brien and her husband, Mark Phillips, and this book purported to tell the true story of Kathy as a mind control sex slave, a presidential sex slave. Yes, our history, our true history, is sometimes so gruesome, so grotesque, that I could hardly bear to read all of the book. I didn't read all of the book, but some of your most revered past presidents, if all of this is true, were monsters. And in the book, it was made clear that this was under the MK Ultra type programs. Some of these children were trained as sex slaves from when they were very, 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 very young, and then they were put under the mind control. And there was Vatican involvement in all of this. All through that book, it was said there were certain sites where terrible rituals happened. These things are leaking out. Even, I think, Malachi Martin, late priest, was interviewed by Dr. Stan one time. He told a lot of truth about the satanic side of the Vatican. And we can see that Pope Francis is for the global reset, the one world government. He's for the ecumenical ultra-ecumenical joining of all the religions. And he said it's okay to take these COVID vaccine shots that are derived from aborted fetal cell lines. So, you know, if you are a Roman Catholic or you are a Protestant, it doesn't matter what the corrupt church is telling you. Albert Mohler in the Southern Baptist group is telling you, take those shots. We had a neighbor, a wonderful guy named Dick, and he had been a veteran, and he was a jokester, and we always looked forward to his clever jokes. About 2 years ago, he began to get some kind of an Alzheimer-like malady, and thankfully for his wife, he did not become violent. He retained a little of his humor, but we weren't sure that he always recognized us. But the point was, he was devoutly in tune with Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. He was a Roman Catholic. He and his wife went to Mass every Saturday. But I had talks with him. They lost a daughter one time, one of twins, and he was heartbroken. And he and I sat out at a picnic table, and I told him encouragements about heaven and about things that had happened in my life. And he, during the Obama years, he wept because he prayed every night to the Lord. He didn't want Obama to become president. So this was a man with a great heart, great feeling, just a great guy. And God was faithful to him because he fell out of bed recently. We just learned 2 days ago he has passed on. But he fell out of bed on the floor, and his wife called their daughter in Baltimore, and one other man came. Somehow, she said, they got him into the car, and they went to his daughter's home. And I thought, here comes the gruesome part. They took him to the hospital. They were not able to be in there without a lot of ugly tests for him, and probably the family would get COVID. So I was there with all these dire possibility scenarios. But she said he just rested there a while, and then he couldn't breathe too well, and he just simply quit breathing very peacefully. And I thought, this is really neat, because that was a man, too, that comforted Lou one time years and years ago when we had been watching this little rabbit outdoors, a wild rabbit, but it had something wrong with it. We thought it was either pregnant or it had a sort of a little tumor, and Lou ran over it. We didn't know it was under his car. It wasn't probably too well, but Lou was very upset that he had done this, so he went over to Dick, and Dick cheered him up and talked to him, and we never forgot that. He and his wife were my idea of a perfect father and mother, and God thought so, too. God took him home peacefully. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you must try to learn that you can give your sins to him in repentance. He will forgive anything you have done. No sin is too black. If you're sincere and you ask him to cast the demons out of your life and you follow him the rest of your days, he will be there with you. Now, there's a P.S. after this situation that we've talked about with the Vatican, with all of this horror. And you know what? If pastors won't stand up in America, we as Christian listeners will stand up here. We as Christian broadcasters will stand up. You can pray. You can tell others to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and hear the important programs for March and April that we had, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Here's the next article by Jim Hoft, and I believe that he is at where, Lou?
I believe.
Is he at Gateway?
I think Gateway Pundit.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
Horror, female GOP representative. A girl from Guatemala was having trouble communicating because she lost her voice screaming while being gang raped. This is a video. Probably you can see that then. And it's connected with ToddStarnes.com. Okay, we'll hear this. Representative Kat Kamick, Representative of Florida, joined Todd Starnes on Todd Starnes on Wednesday to discuss, this was April 8th, the article, to discuss the horror she witnessed at the Biden open southern border. Kamick told Todd Starnes she saw firsthand young girls who had been gang raped by human smugglers at the border. Kat Kamick also joined Fox Business on Wednesday. She said she spoke with one girl. I spoke with a girl who came here from Guatemala, and it took her 17 days to get here, and she was having trouble communicating. Her voice was so hoarse. I asked the agent why, and it was because she had lost her voice screaming because she had been gang raped. Kamick was returning from a 48-hour visit to the border with Republican colleagues on the House Homeland Security Committee and the Agriculture Committee. The freshman lawmaker said she, quote, saw firsthand young girls under the age of 10 that had been gang raped. The cartels control the border, she said. If you are coming to the United States, you pay the cartel. They are making so much money. This is unconscionable, the human trafficking that is taking place. Listeners, pray to God to foil this war on us and bring America to her knees to repent. We cannot have this horrible situation that Alex Jones documented. I've forgiven Alex. I wasn't happy with him calling COVID the flu at the same time he interviewed the expert bioweapons person. Dr. Francis Boyle. I didn't like the mixed message. I just didn't like this message out to people that maybe masks were no good, and then people died in Tulsa not wearing masks. No, but when Alex Jones does something like this, God Almighty will certainly bless him. And what will you do about this? Will you sit quietly, or will you tell your pastor to go to hear this program at DividedKingdomRadio.com? Will you do your part to protect your family? And, Lou, we're getting lower on time again, so I think we promised the listeners that we would have some information on Moderna and on Pfizer. So I think we'll move right now to I Will Do 6A.
All right.
Former Pfizer VP, your government is lying to you in a way that could lead to your death. This is April 8th, Natural News. Dr. Michael Yaden, Pfizer's former vice president. Now, look, listeners, that's not just some little whistleblower who was never connected. Former vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory, who spent 32 years in the industry leading new medicines research and retired from the pharmaceutical giant with, quote, the most senior research position in his field, spoke with LifeSite News. This article is by Patrick Delaney, republished from LifeSite News at naturalnews.com. He had addressed the, quote, demonstrably false propaganda from governments in response to COVID-19, including the, quote, lie of dangerous variants, the totalitarian potential for, quote, vaccine passports, and a strong possibility we are dealing with a conspiracy which could lead to something far beyond the carnage experienced in the wars and massacres of the 20th century. His main points included, one, there is no possibility current variants of COVID-19 will escape immunity. It is just a lie. Two, yet governments around the world are repeating this lie, indicating that we are witnessing not just convergent opportunism, but a conspiracy. Meanwhile, media outlets and big tech platforms are committed to the same propaganda and the censorship of the truth. Three, pharmaceutical companies have already begun to develop unneeded top-up booster vaccines for the variants. The companies are planning to manufacture billions of vials in addition to the current experimental COVID-19 vaccine campaign. Regulatory agencies, this is number four, like the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the European Medicines Agency, have announced that since these top-up vaccines will be so similar to the prior injections, which were approved for emergency use authorization, drug companies will not be required to perform any clinical safety studies. Five, thus, this virtually means that design and implementation of repeated and coerced mRNA vaccines, quote, go from the computer screen of a pharmaceutical company into the arms of hundreds of millions of people, injecting some superfluous genetic sequence for which there is absolutely no need or justification. Six, why are they doing this? Since no benign reason is apparent, the use of vaccine passports along with a banking reset could issue in a totalitarianism unlike the world has ever seen. Recalling the evil of Stalin, Mao, and Hitler, mass depopulation remains a logical outcome. Did you hear that? This is a person who was high up in Pfizer. This is not some kind of a right-wing neo-Rush Limbaugh look-alike, sound-alike. No. He says mass depopulation remains a logical outcome. Seven, the fact that this is at least could be true means everyone must fight like crazy to make sure that system never forms. Why did we bring the pockets back? Why did we bring fatherland security back? To try to give some of you who only react maybe to the truth in humor, a jolt. Now we're back to this article. Dr. Yaden began identifying himself as merely a boring guy who went to work for a big drug company, listening to the main national broadcast and reading the broadsheet newspapers. Continuing, he said, but in the last year, I have realized that my government and its advisors are lying in the faces of the British people about everything to do with this coronavirus. Absolutely everything. It's a fallacy, this idea of asymptomatic transmission, and that you don't have symptoms, but you are a source of a virus, that lockdowns work. and that masks have a protective value, obviously, for you or someone else. Now, we disagree there. We have the common sense view that our mothers taught us, anything you cough out, that we can't agree with him on that. And that variants are scary things, and that we even need to close international borders in case some of those nasty foreign variants get in. And again, we might not always agree with that, too. We think Trump did do right to close the borders early on. But now, he goes on, Dr. Yaden, or by the way, on top of the current list of gene-based vaccines that we have miraculously made, there will be some top-up vaccines to cope with the immune escape variants. Everything I have told you, every single one of those things is demonstrably false. But our entire national policy is based on these all being broadly right, but they're all wrong.
But what I would like to do is talk about immune escape, because I think that's probably going to be the end game for this whole event, which I think is probably a conspiracy. Last year, I thought it was what I called convergent opportunism. That is, a bunch of different stakeholder groups have managed to pounce in a world in chaos to push us in a particular direction. So it looked like it was kind of linked, but I was prepared to say it was just convergence. I now think that's naive. There is no question in my mind that very significant power brokers around the world have either planned to take advantage of the next pandemic or created the pandemic. One of those two things is true, because the reason it must be true is that dozens and dozens of governments are all saying the same lies and doing the same inefficacious things that demonstrably cost lives.
Yes, Lou, we can interrupt to think about how hydroxychloroquine was just completely shunned. The MSM kept it, demonized all the time. And remdesivir was extolled when we heard a lot of reports that it didn't do much. And I can see that we're going to have part two next week of the war on us. Of course, that will be my birthday, April 22nd. It's Earth Day, and we think that God had a little joke because he created me to be one little squeaky voice against the big global conflagration coming, you see, on worshiping planet Earth and upsetting our lives, getting rid of the fossil fuels, all of that. So we're not going to really talk about Earth Day next week on my birthday. We're going to continue right here, because we think that human life is more precious to God and to Jesus Christ than all of the stones and sticks and animals and trees and plants and rivers on Earth. It's so important. And we won't be finishing this time this article about this whistleblower, but we will review it again next week. But, Lou, now go ahead with this.
And the writer goes on to say, and they are talking the same sort of future script, which is, we don't want you to move around because of these pesky varmints, these variants.
That's what they are, varmints.
Yes,
that was
that's
a good
right.
Freudian slip.
Which I call samey-ants, by the way, because they are pretty much the same. But they're all saying this, and they are all saying, don't worry, there will be top-up vaccines that will cope with the potential escapees. They're all
now,
saying
again,
this
is Dr. Michael Yaden, Pfizer's former vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, Lou.
They're all saying this when it is obvious nonsense. I think the end game is going to be everyone receives a vaccine. Everyone on the planet is going to find themselves persuaded, cajoled, not quite mandated, hemmed in to take a jab. When they do that, every single individual on the planet will have a name, a unique digital ID, and a health status flag, which will be vaccinated or not. And whoever possesses that sort of single database, offerable centrally, applicable everywhere to control, to provide, as it were, a privilege. You can either cross this particular threshold or conduct this particular transaction or not.
And we've heard that there are other moves underway with the vaccine passport ideas to use the something like the Chinese social credit score. And we know that the dissidents in China maybe can't get a job. They aren't allowed. They're cast out. And of course, as Christians, we know that this is remarkably similar to the mark of the beast idea. It's coming to where those of us who do take a stand for the right cannot any longer be in the congregations of people like these top religious leaders that we've mentioned who advise that it's okay to take the vaccines that were derived from the aborted fetal cells. We have to clean up our lives completely. If we don't, in the time that's coming, we will not have the protection of Jesus Christ. Maybe some of us will lose our lives. Maybe some of us will come through safely to the end of our days like neighbor Dick. It could well be, but we must live with courage, and we must live with faith, and we must live with some joy and R&R. You know, I shouldn't really admit this, but I hadn't been out of my house maybe in 7 or 8 months, truly, all through the winter. And I wasn't sure that I was still in such a condition with my back and everything, and with my neck that was injured on December 10th when I fell, whether I could do any yard work. So I had to get out there yesterday, and I could do it just about like the year before. And furthermore, God brought me right out there because there was a young man who works for us sometimes, and he was going up a ladder, and he had a power saw, and he got part of a limb down. And Lou was watching him. But all of you listeners know, when you think about your mother and father, your mother was the one that could scream quickly. She was the one that would protect your life. Your father was there. He was supporting. But the mother had all that care of you when you were little. She was ready. So I saw this young man who I had promised to his mother when he was 12 and she was dying of breast cancer. I said, I'll watch over him. And there he was, and he had gotten the one limb, it fell, and I saw the intent on his face. He was going to reach. He was going higher, and I knew he would fall. And I said, don't go any higher. Come on down. Come on down. And then, of course, we went over to him, and we said, you know, he got most of the limb. But I said, you know, a boy is more important than the tree, and all of you are more important than planet Earth. So next week on Earth Day, I will mention my birthday again and how it is part of maybe a counter attack on Earth Day. But we will just continue right here through the war on you. And we've had a good development. The FEMA vax vans are at that road bump. They're temporarily stalled. God could yet restore our country, but these hideous evils must be opposed. We must talk about it. We must not stand for it. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
You and I were pretty much upset with that Alex Jones article, weren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
I told you, because you hadn't really read it. You researched it quickly. But I came upstairs and I told you that I felt like I was going to vomit. I felt really sick.
And I did too.
Last night. Yes.
It's an abomination to God.
And God can foil those evil ones. Pray. Pray as never before. Thank you for listening. Good night.